Let's sing together in our hymnals, page 473. I found a friend, oh such a friend.
Lord, we thank you for another day where we can grow to know you and love you better. We pray that you would come to us again this day in your great faithfulness and meet our needs, Lord, whatever they may be. You know each heart here in this room and on these campgrounds. We pray that you will manifest yourself in glory and power and might. We thank you, Lord, that we can look to you with steadfast hope and faith that you will come to us and meet our needs.
That's one of the things that I think is very just awe-inspiring when we think of God and how he deals with us is, of course, we've talked a little bit about the fact that he is our creator. He's omnipotent. He's beyond, his ways are beyond searching, beyond knowing. But yet, with all of that, he still calls us his friends. Jesus said, I don't call you my servants. I don't call you. He says, I call you my friends. Does anybody know who in the Bible is described, called the friend of God? Anybody remember who is called the friend of God? There's one very specific I'm thinking of. You maybe think of another one. Anybody know? Somebody said it. Who's the winner? Who's the lucky winner here? Abraham. Abraham, the friend of God. Why do you think Abraham was called the friend of God? Was God liked him better than anybody else? Is that what it was? What do you think? Take a wild guess. We won't laugh at you if you're wrong. Not too hard, at least. What do you think? Why was he called the friend of God? Well, why do you have a friend? Why do you choose your friends? There was a relationship there, wasn't there? Exactly right, Sister Eleanor. There was a relationship there. He heard God's voice. He was able to understand what God was telling him. I often wonder, you read so much where it says, the Lord said to Abraham, you know? The Lord said to Abraham. We read that so quickly, so glibly. You see how many times it says, the Lord said to Abraham. And it began with, leave your father's house. Go to a land that I'm going to show you. And I often wonder what that was like. Do you ever wonder about that? When it says the Lord, God said, so often in the Bible, it says God said to someone, well, over and over and over again to Abraham, the Lord said to him, whether he was guiding him, was leading him, was encouraging him, was making promises to him, was correcting him when he made his mistakes, right? The Lord said to him, I wonder what that must have been like. I wonder, did he hear an audible voice? Was it in his soul? We don't know. We're not given that. And I think it's good that we're not given that information, because then we perhaps would limit God, the way he talks to us, the way he communicates with us. Because he talks to us in many, many different ways. But I love the fact that Abraham was able to hear the voice of God. He was listening for the voice of God. He was guided by the voice of God. And he walked with him, and he allowed God to lead him. And even when he made a mistake, even when he kind of took things into his own hands a few times, yet he was still had that heart, that soul, that mind, the ear, again, however that worked, that was able to hear the voice of God. He walked with him. He talked with him. He enjoyed communion. He enjoyed fellowship. Have you thought about the fact that the God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who controls all things, the one that Isaiah tells us that the earth just fits right there in the palm of his hand, the whole earth just right there. He's so great. He's so vast. I heard a story recently about Theodore Roosevelt, I think he's a very fascinating character. You ever heard of him, Theodore Roosevelt? Everybody knows who that is? He was one of our presidents once upon a time. I don't think there's anybody here who remembers him. But you know, he had a very interesting little tradition he used to do. He loved the outdoors. He loved nature. He loved the stars and traveled the world, of course. He was quite an adventurer. But he had a tradition he used to do sometimes. He had a friend, William Beebe, I believe was his name. He was sort of a naturalist and a scientist and loved nature. And they would go out into when they were in the wild or when they were out on safari or wherever it may be at night. The two of them would go outside and they would look up into the sky. And I think our brother Tom probably, or our brother Rich, or our good cook, he loves the sky so much. In fact, over the summer, I don't know if you knew this or not, but there were three planets that were very visible in our sky throughout these summer months. I wish Brother Rich was here because he would remind me exactly what they were. I think one was Jupiter, one was Mars, and one was Venus. And very often after church at night, we'd go outside and our brother would take us and he'd give us the little tour. Okay, he goes, all right, there's Venus, there's Jupiter,
And if you look back this way, there's Mars over there. And he would show us. And, you know, it's so beautiful to see the stars and the sky. But well, that's what Teddy Roosevelt would do. He and William Beebe, they would go out and they would look at the stars. And off to one side was one of the, again, I don't remember all the names, was one of the solar systems. And they would look and they would find it. This little glow, a little clump of light. They would find this solar system and they would say, there's that solar system. I don't know if it was Andromeda, it was one of them. They said, that solar system is thousands of times larger than our own solar system. It contains millions of stars that dwarf our own sun. It's huge. And they would just recount, and again, I don't have all the details at my fingertips, but they would just talk about how vast it was, how huge, how gigantic it was. And here's what I wanted to lead to. One, when they were done recounting that information, President Roosevelt would look at his friend and said, okay, now I think we feel small enough. Now we feel small enough. Let's go to bed. Let's go to sleep. Now that we've kind of recognized in the vast universe and picture of things just how tiny and insignificant we are, now we can go to bed in the right frame of mind. Well, it's true. It's true. The psalmist says, what is man? That you, the God who fills heaven and earth, fills the universe and beyond. What is man that you are mindful of him? And not even the fact that he simply thinks about us. He goes way beyond that. Not just, you know, thinks about us. There are a lot of people we think about. Maybe they cross through our minds. Maybe that guy who just cut us off as we were driving. We have some choice thoughts for him. Or, you know, people that we come in contact with that we don't perhaps know a lot, or maybe we do. He not only thinks about us, but he calls us his friends. Think about a lot of people. But then there are those choice few who become our friends, who we become intimate with, and we share our hearts with them, our minds. Maybe we have a common interest or whatever it may be. There's something that binds us to them, and they become our friends, fast friends, close friends. God has called us his friends. He's called us his friends. He wants to join with us in intimate fellowship where we hear his voice. He speaks to us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He guides us. We even, as we had last night, we even have fun together. We even have fun together. You know, when God used to come down into the garden with Adam and Eve, do you think he used to come down and just sit them down and have a little Sunday school class with them? Not that there's anything wrong with Sunday school class. Like Sister Min shared the other night, I have a good Sunday school class too. We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of laughs. We've had some great times together over the Word of God. But he didn't just sit them down and have a little Sunday school class with them. What do you think they did? Think they enjoyed each other's company? You think maybe Adam and Eve ran through? You know, what does a child do when they're with their father, when they're with their mother? My little guy, Sam, you know what he wants to do? He wants to play hide and seek. He wants to play hide and seek. He wants to wrestle. He wants to have a good time. I believe, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I really believe that when God came down into the garden with Adam and Eve, he came down and they enjoyed each other's company. There was laughter. There was fun. There was awe. There was reverence. But it wasn't simply just like sitting in, you know, they didn't start singing in the, what's that, Gregorian chant when God came down. They enjoyed each other's fellowship. They had fun. They had laughter. That's what God brings into our lives. That's what he wants to bring into our lives. And he can only do it as we are his friends. And I thank God this morning that he's our friend. It's such a vast subject. I want to stop. I don't want to just ramble about it. But he has called you to be his friend. His friend. His friend. Can you wrap your mind around that? Think about it today as you go about your business. Whatever it is you do, he has called you today. He has called you his friend. I thank God for this one of a kind, unique, indescribable opportunity that you and I have to be the friend of God. It's marvelous, isn't it? I thank God for it. Let's sing a song that talks just a little bit about that. In the Garden. as I was talking, that came to me. Let's sing that. It's 304. Story of based on Mary Magdalene coming to the garden on Easter morning. I've heard some of you have been singing Easter songs and Christmas songs. I heard we had two fellows singing We Three Kings of Orient Are. They must have failed mathematics. But let's sing this together, shall we? 304. It's an Easter song, actually, if you think about it.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Do you understand? I just want to... For a long time, I didn't understand this when I was younger, but did you hear, see what it says there? And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Do you know what that is? Do you understand what that says? How that fits the story of Mary Magdalene? How did Mary know that it was Jesus? How did she recognize him? Do you remember the story?
He
spoke to her, and he called her by name. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. In other words, it was his voice speaking her name that revealed who he was. She didn't recognize him, but when he said her name, she knew who it was. And she fell at his feet. Master Rabboni. He talks to us. He speaks to us. And that's how we know that he's with us. Just want to make sure you understand that, because we sing these a lot and maybe we don't understand exactly what it says. So let's continue and sing more about her story.
He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Third verse.
I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of one. Voice to me is calling.
304.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other
God is looking for friends. He's looking for friends, not because he doesn't have any, but he's looking for those who will enter into that friendship with him. And why does he want friends? Just so that you can enjoy fellowship with him? Yes. Did you see that in that song? The joy we share as we tarry there. There's a joy in fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping with our Creator. But that third verse, of course, tells kind of from Mary's side of the story what happens. She's, you know, she's grabbing him and holding on to him, and the scriptures are a little vague. But Jesus says, "Well, now wait a minute. Now you can't hang on to me. You can't hold on to me. Just, you know, in the old King James, it's touch me not. You know, that kind of gives you a little bit of the wrong, you know, don't you touch me. Stop touching me. That wasn't what, but she was holding on to him. She was so glad and excited to see him. He goes, now you can't just stay here and hang on to me. You got to go. You have to go. Not because I don't want to be with you. Not because I don't want you here with me. But I'm sending you because I have a message. I want you to go and tell. Go and tell that I have risen from the dead. Go and tell my brethren. He told them, go and tell Peter. You see, that's why God wants friends. That's why he wants people who will hear his voice, who will walk with him, who will talk with him. Why? So that we can just enjoy that ourselves? No. Because it's those who enjoy fellowship with him. It is the true friends of God that then he says, now, go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell others. Go invite others. Tell them that I'm looking for friends. I'm looking for confidants. I'm looking for intimates, those who will come and will enjoy this glorious, this marvelous, this eternal fellowship that I want to share with each one of you. And so as we're here at camp, while we're enjoying his fellowship, while we have such time, such opportunity to just walk with him and talk with him and enter into fellowship with him, be in his presence, he does that for us so that then we can go and share it with others. Go and tell. Go and tell. Come and see. Go and tell. Go and tell. May God help us to do that. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Father, we thank you that you call us to be your friends. What a marvelous privilege this is. And I ask that you will draw us more deeply into a relationship with you, that we may come to truly know the joy of fellowship with you. May you tune our ears to hear your voice more clearly, even as Abraham and others who walked with you, who truly were your friends. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear what you have to say to us. And most importantly, we want to obey those things, and we want to do them, and we want to share them with others. We thank you for this privilege, which is ours. We thank you that by your grace, you have and are drawing us to yourself. Lord, we don't take it lightly because we know who you are. You are the great God. You deserve all of our reverence, all of our awe, our godly fear, but you have also called us to be your friends. And so we hear this offer and we take it and we accept it. We want to be your friend too. We ask and pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.